We started out the year with a theme of being fishers of men, and we've had several good lessons on it already, but I'd wanted one point that I wanted to bring out that I thought would be useful in our thinking about this year. And that is, what you hope to catch, it really is determined by the bait that you use. You know, a worm might land you a fish, but you probably wouldn't use a worm to get a mouse in a mousetrap. Just wouldn't work that way. And one way to think about it is, like, for instance, I've known young women who want a godly husband. You talk to them, they talk about the fact they want someone godly to be their mate. And then they go and dress provocatively because, well, that gets guys' attentions, right? But the kind of guy that chases after sexy-looking women probably isn't going to be a godly man. You have to start thinking about what kind of bait that you use. Not that you're actually you want to think about, you know, finding a spouse as baiting, but still, what you use determines what you get. And then there's the guys, they have dreams. And they complain there's no girls to date. You'd be surprised how many guys say that all around the world. I get it all over the place. And then I start asking, you know, the obvious question, well, how many girls have you talked to? Talk? I got to talk to them? If you want to catch a fish, you know, you do need to put a worm on the hook. And it does help to drop the hook into the water. Now, those are some obvious ideas, but start thinking about it this way. When a congregation isn't growing, we need to ask some similar questions. I remember talking to one congregation. Their preacher had gotten ill and had died. It was unfortunate. He was an elderly preacher, though. He had lived a good, full life. And it wasn't a huge group, but it wasn't small. In fact, it's probably about the size of this group here. And I got to talking about them. I had never been there before. And they were calling to ask some questions. And I asked them, what the demographics of the congregation were. Found out the youngest member there was 60. In fact, the person I was talking to was the next to the youngest in that particular group. And then I asked them, when was their last baptism? And that stumped him for a while. He scratched his head. I heard him call his wife. They talked it for about a while. It was about 5 years prior, several years before the preacher had gotten ill. And it dawned on me that here was a group that was expecting the preacher to do everything. Here was a group that didn't know how to reach out to the community without the preacher doing it, and they just sat back and waited for it to come. If you will, the hook wasn't being put in the water. They were expecting results without any effort on their part, other than supporting the one who's supposed to be doing the fishing. There's a passage that I would like you to consider in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14. Matthew 5, starting with verse 14, it says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." You know, light is useless if it isn't seen. And that's what Jesus is talking about. We are the light for a world. And if we're going to be a light, we can't hide it. Because otherwise, it becomes useless. Now, in that reading that we had read about Jesus feeding the 5,000. I would like for us to take a look at Mark chapter 6 again. We're not going to read the entire reading that Devin had made for us, but I want you to point out a couple things that I want you to think about. In Mark chapter 6, we're just going to start with 31 to get the context again. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a secluded place and rest a while, for there were many people coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. They went away in a boat to a secluded place by themselves. The people saw them going, and many recognized and ran there together on foot from all the cities and got there ahead of them. And when Jesus went ashore, he saw a large crowd and he felt compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when it was already quite late, his disciples came to him and said, 'This place is desolate and it's already quite late. Send them away so that they may go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat.' But he answered them, 'You give them something to eat.' And they said to him, 'Shall we go and spend 200 denarii on bread and give them something to eat?'" I want you to think about it. What drew the people to Jesus? How was it that Jesus was so swamped that he didn't have time to eat? And when they decided to go to a secluded place, people figured out which way they were going and beat them there. Well, certainly the miracles that Jesus did was a part of it. But notice what Mark points out, that the people lacked guidance. They were like sheep without a shepherd. And what did Jesus do? He taught them. And I want you to take notice of what the people did. They stayed all day. They were wanting his teaching so badly, they were in the middle of nowhere. And yet they stayed until late, listening to him teach. Now the food was Jesus' idea because they had been staying so late, they needed something to eat. And I'm positive Jesus picked that just to demonstrate his power. But think about how many congregations do this backwards. They try to draw people with the food. But Jesus never offered food. That's not what drew the people. That's not what kept the people there all day. It wasn't even mentioned until the very end. In fact, there's another occasion that actually follows this. Because of what happened here, because Jesus did feed the 5,000 with a miracle, John tells us in John chapter 6, in John chapter 6 and verse 25, the people started chasing after Jesus because of the food. In John chapter 6 and verse 25, it says, "And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, 'Rabbi, when did you get here?' Jesus answered them and said, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him the Father God has set his seal.'" Now, do you notice that interesting thing? People were coming up to Jesus. "We found you. We've been looking for you." And Jesus actually tells them, "I'm not interested. Because you're just here for the food. You're not here for the right reason." This was not the type of follower that Jesus was after. And unfortunately, I got a drawer full of, not a whole drawer, but I got a file full of all sorts of examples of various congregations in this area and other places. You know how many people put on their flyers food when they're advertising a meeting? It's all sometimes in bold letters. It's got more prominence than the topic of the meeting. It was not too long ago, I was down in Texas, just beginning of this year. And where we were at, we were in a denominational building. It was fascinating to see it from the inside. Because we had a full run of the building because there was nothing else going on there. Right in the entranceway, there was a coffee bar. Looked like something out of Starbucks. Right there, first thing. Why would they put that there? Walked into the auditorium. Full stage with lights and everything. Big, huge, giant speakers. They had the works. But who were they attracting? Start thinking about what kind of people would want to come to a place that offered free fancy coffees and large rock groups or whatever happened to be. I don't know what style. This one was done in a Western style, but so maybe a large country group. I'm positive most were there because they enjoyed the entertainment. But you know what the problem is when you draw such a crowd? Is eventually people get bored of the entertainment. And so they look for new avenues of being entertained. And that's those particular groups, by the way, if you actually see what they go through, they spend hours and hours and months surveying the community to find out what's most attractive right now so they can offer it so they can keep drawing people in. Because it can't stay still because people are always hungry for something different. And you'll find groups that will teach anything to draw a crowd. Over in 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Starting with verse 3, it says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But wanting to have their ears tickled, they'll accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires and will turn away their ears from the truth and turn aside to myths." People want what they want, and there are always somebody out there that's willing to give them what they want. And is that what we want in a congregation? People who always get what they want. You know, and if we're not careful, we'll get pulled along too. Paul made a warning in Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20 and verse 30. Paul says, "And from among your own selves, men will arise speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them." Twisted things, crooked things. They want followers. And if we're not careful, we can get pulled along. We could snatch that bait. We talked about, though, the fishers of men. This is what actually brought up the idea. I've been thinking about this for a while. See, on the Sea of Galilee, the traditional method for fishing involves going out at night. It's not when you normally would think you know, it's a great time to go fishing. They would do it at night. In Luke chapter 5, and starting with verse 3. And he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little way from the land, and he sat down and began to teach the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep water and let out down your net for catch. Simon answered and said, Master, we worked hard all night and caught nothing. But I'll do as you say and I'll let down the nets. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish and their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners on the other boat for them to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw that, he fell down at Jesus' feet saying, go away from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man. For amazement had seized him and all his companions because of the catch of fish which they had taken. And also there were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not fear, for from now on you will be catching men. I want you to think about what was so surprising here. See, in that day and on the Sea of Galilee, the normal way to go fishing is at night. The fishermen will throw out their nets, lay it out across the water, and then they hang a lantern over the side of the boat. And fish are drawn to the light. And after they think they got enough there, they start pulling the net in, and it scoops up all the fish that are swimming around underneath the light. This is why Peter was kind of skeptical. It's broad daylight now. You can throw out your nets. You might catch a fish that happens to be swimming by, but you're not going to get that many. Because it's light everywhere. They're not going to be drawn to any particular spot. Besides, they had been fishing all night and they hadn't even found some fish nearby. Doing it the right way. Oh, and by the way, they're close to shore. That usually doesn't attract very many fish. It would be near hopeless to catch any fish. But what they caught was beyond the wildest dream of any fisherman. And then Jesus, when they told them that this is too much, they can't just go away because they can't handle that. Jesus said, I'm going to make you fishers of men. If you think that was something, just wait. I'll show you something else. Now that made a big impact on them because that was their business. They lived that life. They knew that could not happen. And it did. But now I want you to consider something for a moment. What was the bait fishermen used on the Sea of Galilee? It was a light. Now take a look at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 and in verse 14. Philippians 2 starting with verse 14. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God, above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I will have reason to glory because I did not run in vain nor toil in vain. We are a people who appear as lights in a very dark world. In terms of the fishermen, we're the bait. That's why Paul started out saying, don't complain, don't fight. Why? Because those sins dim our light. We are to be blameless, harmless, the type of people other people would like to become. And what are we holding up? The word of life. To see the teachings of God living and working in people, draw people to you. And thereby draws them to Christ. See, it's the word of God that produces faith. Take a look at Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Even among the denominations, most people understand the basis of what saves people is faith. That's the foundation of it. Faith in Christ. But where does it come from? People have to know. People have to know God's word. It is God's teachings that bring light to the world, bring light in ourselves so that we might shine out in the world. And that's what draws people. And when you start thinking about, well, Jesus is drawing people with the gospel, with the word, with the examples of his people's lives. So what kind of people is Christ out to draw? Well, take a look at Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 and in verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. There are people that badly want to live right. They're dying for it. They're hungry for it. They're thirsting for it. They want to do what is right. Well, the gospel teaches that. We live the gospel in our lives. We show people that it's possible. You know how many people have messed up lives because they're not following Christ? And they know it's messed up. And they want to straighten it up. In John chapter 6, the foundation for the song that we sang just before the lesson today. In John chapter 6 and verse 44. It says, no one comes unto me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Then there's another passage also that goes along with it. But think about what Jesus is saying. Father draws people to Christ through the teachings of the gospel. There are people who long for eternal life. They long for salvation from their sins. In John chapter 12 and in verse 32, and I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. Jesus offered a way of salvation by offering himself. If that message gets out, it draws. In fact, the message of Christ's death was the ultimate proof of God's truth. In John chapter 8, John chapter 8 and verse 28. So Jesus said, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He. And I do nothing of my own initiative, but I speak these things as my Father taught me. How do you know that what Jesus said was true? And what's really interesting is that most of your English translations add, and that this one does too, adds the word He in there. But He said, when you lift the Son of Man up, then you'll know that I am. That's what Jesus actually said. I am is the name of God. And that everything I taught came from God. The death on the cross is proof that Jesus is God. And yet I know people and I've heard people say, well, we got to get them in here first, then we'll teach them the gospel. But they don't draw people who want to learn. They attract people who want to be entertained or who long for an emotional response or relationship. They use the wrong bait. And then they wonder why they don't want to listen to the teachings of God. But there are people who long for the milk of the Word. Take a look at 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, talking about newborn Christians. It says, and therefore put aside all malice and deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the Word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. That's the type of people God wants. People who long for God's Word. Just like a child wants its bottle. It wants the milk. That's the type of people God wants for His people. And Jesus told the disciples the fields are already ready for harvest. In John chapter 4. John chapter 4 and verse 35. It says, already he who reaps is receiving wages. Oh, 35. I wanted. Do you not say that there are yet 4 months and then becomes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes, look at the fields, that they're white for harvest. Pay attention around you. There are people longing for it. In fact, later on, right after this is when Jesus sends out the 12, 2 by 2. I had a discussion with somebody just last night about this. He sent them out 2 by 2. And he told them to go into various towns. And he says, if you're not received, just go, just leave. Shake off the dust and go to the next town. And I asked him why. Why just pick up and go? Why not put a little more effort into it? The answer is this verse. There is so many people longing for the gospel, waiting to hear it, why waste your time with somebody who doesn't want to hear it right now? Just go. If this person doesn't want to hear it, fine. There's plenty of other people out there. If you don't understand that, just look at our own experience. And we started up this website 13, 14 years ago. We're now getting literally hundreds of emails a week. Yeah, they come from all around the world, but people wanting to know what God says on matters. We regularly get notes from people wanting to know where they can find a church like this one in their area. I answer those at least 3 or 4 times a week. And that's just the ones who write. The number who read are far greater. Just to give you an example, last month, and I'm going to just say just the Omaha area, in the last month. 790 people were on the website. That's just right in this immediate area. Last month, that was just last week. Last year. Last year, there were 8,280 people looking at the website, wanting an answer to some question that dealt with the Bible. Wanting to know how to solve a problem in their life. Someone is looking for the truth around here. Quite a few someones, actually. That's why Jesus says, look out into the fields, they're white for harvest. And who's the bait? It's you. It's I. Letting our light shine so people say, I want to be like them. How do you do that? I want to know what you know. The Lord wants us to be fisher of men, and the bait's our own lives, and we hold up the word of truth in a dark world. And this world's getting darker. So our light shines better. You know what? We've got to be like Peter. Trusting what Jesus said and put the net out. Let's trust know that Jesus knows how to draw men. The type of men that he wants. And use his bait. Hope you'll think about these things. If there's anyone here today who's not yet a child of God, there's no better time than right now to put on Christ. And for those of you who are children of God and would like the prayers of your brethren on your behalf, why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song that was selected.